Welcome to our Improving Public Safety series of crime prevention podcasts presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice, as we explore ways to identify and prevent different types of crime, crimes that currently victimize certain populations and cost Americans millions of dollars each year. I'm your host, Shantez Bailey, with the National Crime Prevention Council. In this podcast, we will focus on the prevention of mortgage fraud. Mortgage fraud, foreclosure, and an increase in vacant properties have all led to a major public safety issue for communities nationwide. The NCPC is committed to educating our current and prospective homeowners on ways to prevent mortgage fraud and scams. We also want to provide individuals on the most effective ways to recognize fraud and where they need to go for more information on reducing the risk of becoming victimized. Today, we are honored to be speaking with Financial Crimes Enforcement Network's Director, James Freese, whose organization, like NCPC, are committed to helping mortgage lenders fight and eventually eliminate acts of mortgage fraud. Mr. Freese, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Shantez. We really appreciate the recognition that you have for the good work we're trying to do here at FinCEN, and we're very supportive of the work that you're doing at the National Crime Prevention Council to educate consumers and especially young people of these risks.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to have you. Can you start, Mr. Freese, by giving us a bit of background on the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network? I know the organization has been described in the past as the bridge between banks and law enforcement. Tell us what that means and how your services can be useful for potential home buyers.
FinCEN's all about following the money, literally the motivation for almost all criminal activity. And certainly when we talk about fraud against individuals is money. They're greedy. And our job at FinCEN, as you said, is working with the banks on the prevention side, making them vigilant against the risks of criminals trying to abuse the system, but also turning that greed into a vulnerability for the criminals, because we can help law enforcement to track the money trails that the criminals leave and to get that money back from them, to hit them where it hurts. And that's why we work not just with banks, but any way you can move money, also with casinos, money transmitters, from the large global transmitters to the corner grocery store that might be providing services. Any way that you can move money is something that criminals may seek to abuse, and by putting them on our side in working with law enforcement, we can catch the criminals and hold them accountable.
Wonderful. I think that helps with my second question here, which is, one of the techniques we found in the past is that you have what's called a mortgage fraud SAR, and that is a form of report. What is its primary purpose, and how does it tie in to a technique that you use to catch these criminals?
One of the key responsibilities that financial institutions have under the regulations that FinCEN puts out, so we require them to do this, to know their customers, know what's normal activity, and keep an eye out for things that just don't make sense. And so when they have suspicion that something doesn't make sense or might involve criminal activity, they have an obligation to file with FinCEN what's known as a suspicious activity report, or SAR for short. Last year, banks filed almost 800,000 of these and over 1.5 million from all of the different type of financial institutions across the United States. And about 92,000 of those reported suspected mortgage fraud. Others can range from any type of taking the results of drug trafficking on the streets, to bribery, public corruption, to check fraud, credit card fraud, healthcare fraud. But once again, these are the things that we get as tips that help us follow the money and help law enforcement build a case to hold the criminals accountable. And specifically with respect to mortgage fraud, we've been looking very closely at this for almost a decade. In 2003, we started seeing a spike in the uptick of activity. And in 2006, we went out with a big report that we were pushing all around the country in terms of risks that people needed to be aware of. What we've done since then is not just use it in individual cases, but really to try and see the trends, the patterns. What these reports help us do is differentiate between the individual case of someone trying to get a piece of the American regime, American dream, that may have misrepresented their assets or their income to try and stretch and get a house in which to live, from the organized criminal activity that again and again is trying to take advantage of the mortgage markets, really for no other reason than for criminal profit.
Wonderful. So this SAR report is definitely a significant key, it sounds like, in discovering the certain trends and patterns that you may discover with these actual criminals. And that helps me want to ask you actually another question. I noticed in one of your recent press release that California, Nevada, and Florida was top on your mortgage fraud SAR report this year. What were some of the common trends or scams that you found with those particular states?
Well, just as you said, these suspicious activity reports are the most consistent source of lead information that law enforcement has across the country in their efforts to combat mortgage fraud, from the local police department to the state attorneys general to the FBI and working with the U.S. Attorney's Office's prosecutors across the country. When we take a look at this at the national level, just as you said, California, Nevada, and Florida are some of the states that top the list in terms of the greatest number of reports of suspicious activity involved in mortgages. And a lot of what we saw was people years past now trying to ride the uptick in the housing markets, expecting that the prices of housing in growing areas would only continue, and knowing that at the time some of the banks might have not been as vigilant as they could have been in trying to make sure that all of the documentation was in place. So it was a little bit easier to follow through in terms of potential misrepresentation of income. Now, as the markets have had downtrends in the past few years with the slowing economy, we see that criminals continue to change their behavior, trying to take advantage of the new situation, and in particular some of the most vulnerable consumers. So as the trend started with respect to trying to game the system with rising prices, the most persistent area that we see that continues today is with respect to foreclosure rescue scams or loan modification fraud. So once again, the example being the individual may have lost their job, might be stretched in their means, and can't meet their next mortgage payments, looking out for help. And then they see an advertisement that says, call us. We'll make all your problems go away. Well, you can't believe that. They're not necessarily on your side. Some of those are the criminals that are trying to take advantage of you. And even where we see increased efforts to try and help homeowners who are struggling to get out of an underwater mortgage, such as in a short sale where you're literally selling the home for less than the mortgage value, we see criminals trying to take advantage of that situation as well, such as with inflated appraisals or working with a number of collusive people to have a fictitious sale at one price and then turn around immediately and sell it at a higher price. So that's the other end of the cycle. We see them taking advantage of the downturn in the markets as well. The one commonality of this is that it's the consumers and all Americans that are losing out on this. This criminal activity on the margins is what is harming all of us and is hampering our efforts for promoting recovery in the market. So it's so important that we do something to attack these criminals involved in the mortgage markets.
Which helps explain a new regulation that you will have coming out next month, August 13th to be exact, where it's going to require lenders to establish anti-money laundering programs, AML programs, and file a SAR report. So what will this new regulation mean for the banks and, most importantly, potential home buyers?
Correct. As I've mentioned in terms of these suspicious activity reports, this information that's so important to law enforcement and going after the criminals, those requirements have been in place now for many years with respect to banks. But up until the financial crisis, about half of all mortgages were not actually originated by banks, but rather non-bank companies, some of the brokers who then sold off the various mortgage and these type of securitized products for sophisticated investors. And those non-banks were not subject to the same controls, and therefore we had a regulatory gap. We were missing some information with respect to who might be the criminals trying to take advantage of the system. So from the consumer side, it won't make a difference. The consumer will be interested in getting the loan that makes the most sense for them, the lower interest rates, the lower fees at the beginning, that which they can afford. But what the consumer wants to know is whomever they're dealing with is subject to the controls that make sure that criminals aren't able to take advantage of gaps in the system. So that's exactly what we do. We're closing that gap and working with the industry on areas where we have a shared interest, and that is keeping the bad guys out of the system and letting them go about the important work in helping homeowners find a place to live.
There you go. Well said. And so that regulation coming up in August, August 13th actually, will help close that regulatory gap as well?
Yes, it will. About 30,000 additional entities, non-bank mortgage lenders and originators, will come under this system.
Wonderful. So hypothetically speaking now, Mr. Fries, let's say we have an unfortunate case where a home buyer has been scammed and became a victim of mortgage fraud. What are some tips or suggestions you can give to those victims to help them avoid acts of fraud in the future?
The most important thing I can say is to speak out. It's a very difficult situation. It can seem embarrassing sometimes for the individual to have been a victim. But understand that most of the bad guys that are out there, most of the criminals, you're not the only one that they've gone after. They might be preying on people in your neighborhood, in your region. With the internet today, that region might be a national one. And it's only when we get information about this that we can pull together the pieces to hold the bad guys accountable. If they tell you something that sounds too good to be true, well, you can believe that it generally is. There's a real market out there with respect to the way we carry out mortgages in this country. Look out for some of the agencies that are there to help, such as NeighborWorks that has counseling services, those that are approved by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. They're there to help explain complicated documents and procedures for you, and they can give you leads as to how you check references to make sure that the appraisers, the brokers, the inspectors that you're working with are legitimate professionals.
Exactly. So it's just really a matter of the consumer doing their research and speaking out if they feel they have been a victim of mortgage fraud. I think that's great information. Mr. Fries, thank you for being our guest today. Before we end this podcast, we recommend that you visit www.ncpc.org to find more information and helpful resources. Simply look under the resource link on NCPC's homepage to find more information. Please check ncpc.org on a regular basis, as we frequently provide updated material on this subject.
If I can add one more link, I invite consumers to look at the website stopfraud.gov, G-O-V, It's the website of the Financial Fraud Enforcement Task Force, which is the broadest coalition of law enforcement, investigatory, and regulatory agencies ever assembled to combat fraud. Of one of the three committees under this task force, the Training and Information Sharing Committee. And you'll see on that site a series of links, places where you can go for help in dealing with mortgage fraud, as well as other types of fraud, looking at the consumer, whether it's ID theft, security, healthcare, mass marketing fraud. There's lots of places that are there to help you, and I encourage all consumers to follow up on them and speak out.
Wonderful. Stopfraud.gov.
Correct.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Mr. Fries, for joining
Thank you.
Us. Thank you for joining us. This podcast is presented by the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance, the Office of Justice Programs, U.S. Department of Justice. This podcast series is supported by grant number 2010D2BXK023. Points of view or opinions in this document are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice.